Good morning. How are you? Yeah, good. See some smiles. That's good. If you guys could open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we are continuing in our Mark It Up study. Chapter 5, Tom did a great job when he was communicating to us the importance of the ministry of reconciliation that Paul had. And Paul continues that theme at the beginning here in chapter 6. And there's a very important message that we need to receive and the Corinthians needed to receive. Second Corinthians 6. Before we jump in, there is this amazing ministry that Paul had, and I want to pray that God opens us up to his word of reconciliation. So would you guys pray with me? Jesus, now is your time. And we come here to this place to hear you. We want you to speak to us. We want to hear exactly what you want us to have, and we want to go away with it. We want to be changed by you. We want to understand your grace. So help us to understand what you have done for us that we don't have to do ourselves, and help us to focus on expressing and responding to what you've done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the ministry of reconciliation that was Paul's was going to those who didn't know who Christ was, going to those who are caught up in religion and trying to earn God's favor, and sharing with them that there was a Savior, there was somebody who had come to die for them. To die for them because they needed a Savior. Their disobedience had earned them punishment. Real disobedience, real punishment, real need, real ministry of reconciliation. This ministry of reconciliation is reconciling others to God. Those who had gone their own way. And it's a beautiful message. Look at verse 21 of the end of the last chapter. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. I just need to stop, take a breath there. This is an amazing life. This is an amazing life of devotion that Paul has. And the whole life, his whole devotion, his whole love of God, which is great from what we see here, is based upon a cause, is based upon a means that is the grace of God. It's not him. It's not his motivation to be right with God that motivates him to share the gospel no matter what happens to him. It's the grace of God. He has this incredible ministry of reconciling people to God forever by faith in Christ. Christ is a complete Savior. He's not a second chance for you. He's not a second chance for me. It's not him erasing all of our past and we get to try to earn God's favor anew. No, he reconciled us, saved us completely. Completely. There is nothing left for you to do. Some people, that's a relief. Because they try to be good enough for God, and they know that they're not. Others of you may find that frustrating, that there's nothing left for you to do. A to-do list gives you control. That's why we love conditionality. We love conditionality because we are in control. We know that if we want something, we have to do something, and all we need to do is figure out what we need to do to get what we want. But that's not the case with God. You can't. You cannot do enough or be enough to earn relationship with God or keep relationship with God. And that's what God calls good news. And that is good news. Because if we're honest with ourselves, if we quit deceiving ourselves, we are in desperate need of God's grace. And it's when we receive God's grace, truly, versus just having it as an idea, as a thought, as an answer. It's when we receive it truly and deeply and completely that then we produce this life, or the grace, I should say, not us. Our grace produces this life of complete devotion of loving God. When I think about that, I get a little nervous because I'm used to conditionality. Conditionality has kept me alive thus far. I'm surviving, and I'm happy with surviving. It's safe. I understand the rules. I do this, I get this. You understand the rules. You do this, you get this, and that's safe. It's worked out thus far. Grace is very radical. Look at Paul's life. He has this ministry of reconciliation. And grace is causing him to love God at all costs. His opponents, it's important to understand, as has been kind of covered by review, his opponents, they had taken away the Corinthians from trusting in Paul as an authority, from Paul and the Corinthians having a relationship with each other. The opponents came in with a resume, and they came in with smooth speech, and they came in ready to say why they should be listened to. And the Corinthians, unfortunately, fell victim and listened. And the Corinthians started to buy into what the opponents were saying and walk away from what Paul was saying. Paul says that the only way that you are right with God is through Christ. That message is by grace. You get Christ by grace. You've never earned him. Jesus comes as a gift for you and saves you. He chooses you. Not because you're great. Scripture actually says opposite. God knows you better than you know yourself or are willing to see yourself. There's nobody good. It says not even one in Romans 3. It says all have sinned. All of us here have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if you want conditionality, I can tell you where that ends. It doesn't end in being reconciled to God. Grace, trust and faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, puts you in relationship with God. That's what accomplishes reconciliation. That's an amazing message. And grace has come into Paul's life, and it gets into his heart. It gets past his head like the to-do list, and explodes into his heart. And he lives a life of complete devotion. The end of the chapter, which we're not going to spend a lot of time on, has this importance that Paul is trying to say, okay, come back to me. Come back to me, Corinthians. You have made core people in your life, authoritative people in your life, that should not be. You have made these teachers, ones who speak into your heart, who help you determine conclusions of what life is and what life is not, and who you are and who you are not. And that has taken them away from grace, and that's taken them away from the gospel. It's taken them away from Christ, and it's starting to separate them from the love, from the response to God's grace that Paul wants them to have. Because the opponents that show up, their agenda is not Paul's. Paul's agenda is exalting God. The opponent's agenda is exalting themselves. They want to exalt themselves. So they teach a form of Judaism, Judaizing teaching, which is like you need to do such things in order to be accepted. And they teach a sense of morality. This is your to-do list, and we are doing it. Do our to-do list, and then you have value because you accomplished that to-do list. Who does that exalt? It exalts the Corinthians. And so they abandon grace, which is really going to get them reconciliation with God, for conditionality, which is going to keep them from this relationship with God that Paul wants them to have of responding to the grace of God. And it wasn't too hard. I mean, these opponents come in, and it seems like overnight, people are willing to trade grace for personal glory. I am good enough that God has a relationship with me. That's what the Corinthians had fallen into. It's completely false. Salvation is by grace. Sanctification, becoming like Christ, being in relationship with God, is by grace. And if God wants us to receive this grace, we should figure out what this grace is. Because it is this grace that produces this life of complete devotion. It produced Paul's life. And when I think of grace, I think of the gospel. I think of verse 21 in chapter 5. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. Where do you see a to-do list in here? This is the ministry of reconciliation that Paul is working on, reconciling people to God. This is the word of reconciliation. And he doesn't say, be a better person. He says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Okay, that's not me. Christ is doing that. So that what? So that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus did everything. Take a moment. Absorb that. Let that start to get past your conditionality. Let that get past your to-do list. Jesus did everything. There's nothing left for you to do. Nothing. That's grace. God gives you a relationship with him forever that can't be ruined. It's imperishable. You have a relationship with God that's imperishable. I think we have a to-do list, though, don't we? Things that I struggle with on my to-do list when it comes to conditionality and earning relationship with God is a quiet time or time with God. I feel like if I have time with God, I think we feel like if we have time with God, then we have a good relationship with him and we are able to keep his love. Or if we pray when we tell someone we're going to pray for them, then we're able to keep his love. Or if we stay under the speed limit or don't go 5 over the speed limit, then we can keep his love. We have these to-do lists, this conditionality, and we've learned it. We've fallen victim to the world because we have conditionality that we grow up in with parents, with friends, with family members, with coworkers. If you do something for them, they respond in a like manner. If you're good to them, they're good to you. If you're not good to them, they withdraw from you. If someone's not good to you, you withdraw from them. That's conditionality. And the problem with conditionality is, in order to have right relationship with God, it takes you off the path of receiving God's grace. And that is the key to a devotional life that you want, loving God with everything. It takes you off the path of what we're going to see later, the life that you actually want to have. But sometimes we'd rather go with the life that we know that we can control, that glorifies us, than this radical life that we don't understand. Look at Paul's life. He is sharing the ministry of reconciliation with abandon. He is beaten. He's whipped. And these beatings, he was scourged. So it was whipping with a cat of nine tails. Think of a whip and think of it with nails and glass. Now, if this life is a fable, it means nothing to us. But this is a man's biography. This is a man's testimony. And it makes me marvel. Does it not make you marvel and stand in awe of what grace is producing in Paul's life? Think about your ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to share God's ministry of God's word of reconciliation, the gospel, with others. How many of us have experienced this? How many of us have been beaten? How many of us have experienced a tumult, which means a riot? Paul, in one city, he was stoned, and they dragged him out of the city and left him for dead. And that doesn't stop him from sharing the gospel. He comes back, and he continues to share the gospel. But us, we stop sharing the gospel, not because we experience persecution, but we stop because we fear persecution. Paul experiences beatings, imprisonments, riots as the victim, and he continues to share the gospel. He continues to love and serve God. There's something at work in Paul's life that you and I need and that the Corinthians need, and that's to receive the grace of God. But the grace of God is foreign to us. It's just a buzzword. It's a buzzword that's theoretical, that's abstract to us, because it's opposed to our conditionality that we've been steeped in. I think if we were going to define grace, some might say that they have no idea what grace means. Others might instead say in a tone that I think if you were to draw it or act it out in Hollywood, it'd be somebody walking out to do chores. It's like somebody upset of what they're sharing. I hear grace defined this way. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. We have a disdain for it. We have a disdain for even the idea of it, and we won't receive it. It won't become part of our lives. We haven't let it in to be part of our lives. But the good news of Christ is the epitome expression of grace. That is what we need to take away. We need to understand that salvation, sanctification, loving God, it's all through receiving God's grace. Completely and deeply. The irony is that nothing gets people doing more for God than telling them what Christ has done for them. I'll repeat that. Nothing gets you and me doing more for God than us understanding and sitting in the reality of what Christ has done for us. That's what we need. That should be our aim every day, is to get to a point of being with God and remembering that we receive grace. That's how we get relationship with God. That's what Christ has done for us. He's given us a relationship with him that we have not deserved. I like Peter and Jesus, and the way that Peter's life shows grace, because Jesus, even though Peter said, I am going to love you and my love for you is never going to fail, the reason he says that, he takes glory in his love of God. And he thinks that if he loves God and his love for God never fails, what does that mean in the world of conditionality? Help me out. If he doesn't fail, if he loves God without fail, what will God do? Love him without fail. Does Peter fail? Yeah, he fails big time. He says that he's going to go and die with Christ, and then a 12-year-old servant girl asks him if he is with Christ, and he denies Christ. He denies Christ three times, a total of three times. He fails to love God, and God what? Continues to love him. It's the reality of grace. It's a reality that he had to go back to. Do you remember when he starts eating with the Judaizers, the Jewish believers? He starts eating with the Jewish believers because he feels like he needs to separate himself from the Gentiles when he eats. Part of the old, not part of the new system of grace. Old system of conditionality. You're getting close to receiving grace if you're like, what? If as you listen to this, you're like, this can't be right. It cannot be right. That means you're getting close. And so Paul urges the Corinthians to receive this grace. As one receives the grace of God, so one expresses loving service to him. It's hard for us to receive grace, I think, as a community, because think of our community. Think of yourself. Think of your neighbors. There's more master's degrees. They say that the secondary education, the higher level education that Boulder has condensed in this community is at the very top of communities in our country. They say that the athleticism here in Boulder is at the top, that people are fitter here in Boulder than they are in many other places in our country. And there's tremendously moral and kind individuals here in Boulder. There's a lot working against us. This false confidence in who we are, that we're good enough. If anyone is going to earn God, we think, oh, Boulder people, we should earn God. We got this. Receive completely. To receive completely God's grace, you need to understand your utter need. Sinners love grace because sinners know that they are not able to earn God. Self-righteous, those who are self-righteous, they're confused by grace. They don't buy it. They don't get it. What? I'm good enough. Why would I need somebody to do it all for me? Why would I need someone to give me unmerited favor when I can earn favor? That gets me glory. I'm more interested in the merited favor. I'll take that. Again, your end is secure if you take the merited favor, because you cannot merit God either to begin a relationship or to continue in relationship with him. You have to give up your glory. Grace exalts God. Conditionality exalts you. And I like what Rick Warren said in his book, Purpose Driven Life, which is sold second to the Bible. Millions of copies, month after month after month. He starts off and he says, the purpose of life, it's not about you. That might be a big enough nugget for some of us to come away with this morning, for you to come away with. It's not about you. Conditionality, it's all about you. It's all about your glory and you getting what you want through your own effort. You having control. You have to receive this grace deeply. Total trust. You have to put your total trust in it. It's not that Christ died to get you started. Christ died completely for you. I like what 1 John 4 says. It totally debunks and refutes conditionality. It's God's word. Let it get inside. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In this is love, not that we love God, and thus he loves us back. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means you bear, the propitiation bears God's wrath and removes it from you. That means that you weren't loving God. If wrath is due you, that's because you're not loving God. God loves us first. God gives us grace. He chooses to give us grace. Again, this conditionality, system of conditionality, needs to go. Grace is not just for salvation. It's for all of life. And finally, Tullian Chavidian, a pastor that I believe really understands God's grace, and on the insert, if you want to go deeply and receive God's grace completely and deeply, I encourage you to check out his sermons, his free sermons online. He says it this way. He says, we treat Jesus like Santa Claus. He knows if you've been good or bad, so be good so you can get presents, so you can get blessings. God was for us long before we have ever been good, if we are good. Does that register? God was for us long before we've ever been good. If we are good, the Bible says, as I stated earlier, we're not good. We need to give that up in order to receive grace, in order for grace to come into our lives and produce loving God. A complete devotion, such that Paul shares about his life here. There's an objection that pops up in individuals' minds as they go through this, and it's covered in Romans 6. And the objection is, if we actually embrace grace as a reality and trust in it, and we don't say that grace is just an idea, if it's a real reality, isn't that going to mean that we're going to stop loving God? No, Paul receives grace, and you read his life. Does Paul's life reflect your life? Do you share the gospel, or do you serve with your gifting, your spiritual gifting, without fail, no matter what opposition comes against you? Or do you participate in one of the greatest tragedies that I participate in, that we need to stop participating in, which is letting our gifts go silent? Not loving God with all that we are. Not being radical in loving God as he deserves. Our error is not too much grace. Our error is that we think too little of it. And we think of it too little. Our error is not too much. It's that we think too little of grace. We think it can't accomplish salvation. We think it can't accomplish loving God. And we think of it too little. Zacchaeus is a perfect example in Luke 19. He is a chief tax collector. He is the worst of the worst in his society. People look at him and they're like, that individual has no shot of getting a relationship with God. They will never be good enough. There's no hope in the realm of conditionality. But Jesus does what? He spots him in a tree because he's too short to see in this crowd of people. And he says, I'm going to dine with you at your house. He gives Zacchaeus relationship with himself, Jesus does, relationship with God by grace. And do you want to know what happens in Zacchaeus' life? Instead of going into license and continuing to collect money, hey, I have salvation with God now, let me continue to collect money, defraud people. Instead, he gives half of his possessions to the poor. Half. And then those he defrauded, he gives four times of what he defrauded them, he gives that back to them. That's a lot different from what we think gets us, what we think is loving God with our finances. We think that's 10%. But grace received in Zacchaeus' life is 50%. 50%. Paul's classification of his spiritual maturity, if we could go to, as he gets more spiritually mature, he classifies himself not as being better or arrived or more holy. He actually labels himself as being less holy. Now, he's not getting less holy. But what he's doing is he's realizing who he is. He's realizing that he is the least of all apostles. 1 Corinthians 15:9. And then when he ends, In 1 Timothy with the chief of sinners, it seems like he has gotten less holy, but what he's done is grace has allowed him to actually see who he is. That's the first step. You need to understand that you have an utter need for God's grace. And you need to receive it. You need to receive it completely. And you need to receive it deeply. And it comes from realizing that Jesus, again, has done everything. It's complete. It is finished. It is finished. What Jesus does in giving us, in doing everything for us, he propels us into loving God. He enables us to have the life that God wants us to have and that we want to have. I like how Tim Keller describes it. He says, "The gospel and the grace of God reveal to us that we are more wicked than we ever dared believe. And yet we are more hoped, we're more loved, than we ever dared hope." Let me say that again. We are more wicked than we ever dared believe. And we are more loved than we ever dared hope. Tullian Chavidian says it another way. He says, God showed up with his best when we were at our worst. We believe under this, if conditionality is all you have, if there is no grace, if there is no Jesus as Savior, then you have to believe that you're a good person or else you can't be in relationship with God. If it's conditionality, you're good and you're good enough, and so God lets you be in lets you have relationship with him. But that's not true. That's why Jesus came. If you are good enough, why does Jesus need to come? Why does Jesus need to obey God perfectly? Why does Jesus need to die in your place as your wrath bearer and wrath remover? Why? You think God is unwise? Do you think he does things needlessly? Far from it. God is wise, and he does what needs to be done. And you and I need to receive his grace. We cannot leave it as an answer. We cannot leave it as a theory, as an abstract reality, because grace, the grace of God found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is our way to salvation, is our way to then responding and loving God as God deserves. So it produces the life that you want. And it produces the life that God wants you to have. It produces salvation. It produces spontaneous obedience. It enables you, instead of having your initiatives, do you know what an obedience initiative is? It's when you say, I'm going to be better at Y or X. I'm going to be better at forgiving people. And so you go for a week and you're like really good at forgiving people. Or I'm going to be better at speeding. And so you try to be really good at speeding. Yeah, that's not a good idea. You try to really be really good at not speeding. How long do those initiatives last? Paul loves and serves God in the face of suffering for his whole life until eventually he dies for Christ. Grace produces in you an obedience that you trying to earn God's favor is never going to produce. I equate it to in my life as I'm trying to receive God's grace more and more. I found myself this weekend as I was at a hotel here in Boulder and I was on the elevator. I found myself like being kind to people in a way that I don't normally. I'm not always kind to people. Like, if I see somebody in an elevator, sometimes I'll talk with them, and sometimes I won't. Anybody? Okay. No honest people. Okay, that's good. So I just found myself almost overflowing, like, wanting to love this person just by having a conversation with them. Oh, hey, are you from out of town? How are you doing? How long are you going to be here? Spontaneous obedience. is produced. Loving service is produced. We're commissioning a Calvary couple today as missionaries. And that sort of service comes from grace being released in someone's life. I'm running out of time, so let me end with this. It is time for us to give up our performing and get what God and His grace produces. It's time for us to give up performing, trying to earn God's favor, trying to earn acceptance, trying to keep His love. Let's give that up and let's instead receive His grace, receive the gospel, and let that explode in our lives such that it causes us to give our money to God like Zacchaeus did, to share the gospel like Paul did. These are biographies. It's a biography of what grace does in someone's life. But we put it away as a fable because our conditionality has yet to cause us to love God that way. So the grace of God produces complete devotion. As one receives the grace of God, so one expresses loving service. And the grace of God produces the life that God wants you to have and that you want to have. And I would encourage you, the journey that I've taken in receiving God's grace is through a lot of the resources that are on your insert. I wrote on the back there, there's a few pastors, Matt Chandler, Tim Keller, Tully Chavijan, and they have free sermons that you can listen to. And I encourage you guys to use what God has given those men and their ministry of receiving God's grace. I pray that you would take in God's grace. Let me pray for us. Please pray with me. Father, thanks for Christ. Thanks for grace. Thanks that we get relationship with you through Christ. And we ask that we would receive your grace, the grace of Christ, completely and deeply, so that we love you as you deserve to be loved, with all our hearts, all our souls, all our mind, and all of our strength. We ask that you would produce this in Jesus' name. Amen.